We rise. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. He has overcome the world. Amen. We pray, dear Jesus, by the hearing of your word today, grant us access to the Father that we might dwell with you forever. Amen. That word which we consider is the fifth part in our Vacation Bible School series, which now considers the greatest prophet who speaks in John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of God. In the name of Jesus, our Savior, dear fellow heirs of eternal life, and all who have access to the Father by faith. Some of our Vacation Bible School volunteers this week were having some difficulty gaining internet access. We discovered that there was a conflict between the modem, which is in my office, and the router, which is in the fellowship. They both give access to the internet, but because the signals were conflicting, we were having trouble making a connection. We shut off the router, and then were able to access the internet simply by using just one source, which is in my office. Of course, when we did that, we came across another problem, and that's the strength of the signal. You have to be in a certain proximity to my office in order to get a good signal on your laptop, your iPhone, your iPad, or whatever you might be using. Whether it's a phone or the internet, we recognize we need to be granted access and we need a reliable connection. In this week's Vacation Bible School, we learned about how God establishes a connection with us. How he grants us access to eternal life. This week's series, God Speaks to Us, taught us about different prophets of the Bible. The work of a prophet is to provide you with a heavenly connection. Through the spoken or the written word, God is able to give you access to something you otherwise could never possess. We studied the ministries of Moses, Elijah, Isaiah, and John the Baptist, and finally the greatest prophet who speaks to us in our text, Jesus. Jesus is the greatest prophet because without him, all the other prophets, in fact, the whole Bible, would be meaningless. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through faith in him. He is the only way to gain access to our Heavenly Father. By nature, we are disconnected. The Garden of Eden destroyed our access with the interference of sin. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. That natural man that resides within every one of us as we are born into this world is disconnected. Our sinful nature, which is still with us, even after faith in Christ, gets our signals crossed. We see this conflict day by day, either within us or among us in our relationships. Consider how we're just like Moses in our first lesson. Moses was confronted with the call to share the gospel with other people. Like Moses, we struggle to trust God, to trust that he'll give us the ability, he'll give us the words to speak, he'll give us what we need, because we wonder, what if I don't say the right words, or I don't have the right answer, or I get embarrassed, or I lose a friend? We're also like the people of Israel in Tuesday's lesson, as we considered Elijah's ministry. We find ourselves faltering between two opinions. It's much easier to go along with the crowd, the majority. We don't want to be the odd person out. And so we can agree with what Isaiah said on Wednesday. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've each turned to his own way, the easy way. Similar to Herod in Thursday's lesson, we like to choose what's in our best interest, not risk anything. Perhaps we don't execute the one who's sent to us to tell us about our sin, and yet we don't really want to hear it. Perhaps we get angry. Perhaps part of us wants to throw that other person into prison so we don't have to be bothered, so our conscience can't accuse us. However, no amount of effort, maneuvering, or smarts can overcome this conflict, can get things straight, can find the right path. Nothing in us is able to suppress our sinful thoughts that continue to attack us. Yes, the source of truth and righteousness belongs only to God, and it's reserved only in heaven. How can we, conflicted, sinful human beings here on earth, ever get that heavenly truth, that heavenly righteousness? Jesus says in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me." Jesus alone gives us that heavenly access. Believe in God, yes, but believe also in me. As we look back on our lessons for the week, consider Elijah's situation again. Because of the influence of idolatry, he finds the nation has been forgotten about the commandments of God. They've gone after a false worship of a god whose name is Baal. He says to the people, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." In the realm of spiritual truth, there really are only two positions: the truth and the lie. If the God of the Bible, the triune God, is the true God, then all other gods need to be false. Scripture does not leave any leeway for this. All the gods and religion of other religions, other belief systems, are in opposition to the belief system that is presented in Scripture. The Lord and Baal cannot be the same God any more than Allah and Jesus. They describe themselves in contradictory ways. They save in opposing methods. The Lord saves by grace through his undeserved love in Jesus Christ, whereas Baal and Allah and all other gods save by the merit that you are expected to provide from earth. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know." To Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am, Jesus says. I am. This takes us all the way back to our first day of the week, where we hear the angel of the Lord speaking from the burning bush. And what name does he go by? Maybe if some of the children could remember, if we had some of the older children here today, they knew the answer to this. He calls himself, I am. Jesus is unchanging. He is the eternal Son of God. The one who the writer to the Hebrews says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus was present in our first lesson, appearing to Moses with words of deliverance. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have surely seen the oppression of my people. I know their sorrows. Jesus has visited you and your sorrows by taking them on in flesh, by becoming human and suffering for your sins to deliver you, to set you free. Jesus is present with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. All other gods fall silent on this matter, while God rains down the righteousness of his Son from heaven. In the resurrection of Jesus, all other gods have been silenced, and God has demonstrated that he is the only one who can save you. And he has. So Jesus is present in the law gospel presentation of Isaiah. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and we need to hear that bad news. Because without the bad news, we could never have the good news. That Jesus is the innocent lamb sent to be the sacrifice for your sins so that you are declared forgiven. Jesus was present in the fourth lesson when John the Baptist was beheaded in the midst of whatever persecution you face. When you speak the truth in the face of embarrassment, hostility, even unto death, Jesus is with you. For he is the greatest prophet. He's there through all scripture speaking to us. I am the way. The way to heaven never changes. It was the same for Moses as it is for you. Not by the works of your righteousness, but by his precious blood, a place has been prepared for you. Of course, remember what happened to our internet access. Even when we resolved the conflict about getting access, we still needed the signal strength. You could get closer and closer to my office there, but if that door's locked with a concrete wall between you and the modem, you can still have problems. The most reliable connection is to plug right into the network. Besides being granted access to the Father, God has provided a way to plug in to something completely outside of where you are or what you're doing. It's the Bible. I am the truth, Jesus says. God has revealed through his word the most reliable connection, because you can't trust your emotions. It is a reed shaken by the wind that's faltering one day, one way one day, and the other way the next day. You can't trust your works. All the leaping and self-sacrifice of 450 prophets could not conjure up an answer. Your finances, your good fortune, even your friends, family, and your pastor, in the end, are not going to be a reliable connection. Not if they're not based on the Word. Let go of those wireless connections and plug right into the Bible to find out if the things I'm speaking are the truth, if they are from God, just like those prophets spoke in times past. So our memory passage for this week, maybe some of the children remember. Samuel or Joshua, do you remember the Bible passage for this week? From 1 Peter 1:25. the Word. That's right. The Word of the Lord endures forever. I think Jeremiah learned that one too, right? And Zach, you learned that one? Because that Word never changes, even as Jesus doesn't change. The Word is where Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you, where He dwells to grant you connection with the Father. It's more than mere sounds, syllables, and sentences. The Word is the power of God into salvation. It brings you the Spirit in a faith-to-faith conversation with God. Jesus goes on in chapter 14, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and make myself known to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will make yourself known to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will treasure my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him." The world does not know this way, but you do. The Word, together with the waters of baptism, together with the bread and wine we share, is the way that you know to gain access to the Father. And so Jesus can say unchangeably, "I am the light. Always with you, always near, forgiving your sins and giving you access to heavenly blessings." Let us go repeatedly to that reliable and unchangeable source of truth, the signal from heaven, Jesus and His Word. There we find an unchanging love that breaks down barriers, that ends the conflict within us and among us. There God keeps us eternally. Let us pray. Father, send us your Spirit through the Word, that we would know and believe in you, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.